Welcome back to the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Trevor Everett, and we're going to talk today for a few minutes just around, it's been about six, seven games, weeks worth of games with NBA season now. We're going to talk about storylines, just some things that have happened. We're starting to get into that mode there. It's obviously going to be very slow and very quiet for the next couple of weeks here, but teams are just starting to see how they look, and coaches are starting to figure out adjustments and who's doing well and who's not doing well. So we're in that phase. Welcome back. Thank you if you're new here for go ahead and subscribing, like, comment, everything. I appreciate all the support. All of the links you'll see on YouTube are going to be right here on the screen, as well as everything will be down below. I also thank you for all the support over the last couple of weeks with this transition, like I said, into in-person solo type content with me. So thank you for the ride. I've got some really cool stuff coming, some written stuff very, very shortly. It's being worked on right now, being edited, etc., and put onto the lovely website. You will get a tweet, Instagram, all of that stuff. It'll be available to you whenever you find out that it's available. Like, I'll send it out, you'll hear it in an episode, etc. So looking forward to talking about it. If you're not new here, this segment will be a lot of fun. You've heard this before. So news or snooze? Obviously, this game is a little bit more fun when you're like throwing it at somebody, figuring it out, talking about it. I figured right now it's early enough. We just finished overreactions last week with Grayson. If you haven't, check that out. It'll be right up here above in one of the little eyes on YouTube or linked below. But check that out, week one overreactions. Some of them were very, very wild, and we ended up doing a draft live there on the spot. So it was really, really cool. But yes, storylines, looking forward to talking about those really quick. I've got six of them, and then I want to highlight one additional at the end that's not worth considering for news or snooze, but you'll see what it is. We'll go over it. We'll talk about it. Some stuff that hasn't been brushed over, some stuff that just happened today. And speaking of today, I'll go ahead and get this out of the way now so we can get started. You'll see on YouTube right here. If not, if you're listening on one of the awesome Spotify, Apple podcast platforms, etc., the question of the day or the question of the episode is going to be, what is your favorite candy? Because I'm recording this on Halloween as we're watching the Crunch Time stream, Monday Night Football, all the fun stuff on Monday. So Halloween night, what is your favorite candy that either you got on Halloween? Comment below, send me a tweet, Instagram message, whatever's best for you. Comment on the TikToks. Hope you guys are enjoying the NBA 60-second or yesterday in the NBA series. So otherwise, let's get started. So comment your favorite candy, and we'll go ahead and get started now. With the NBA season, like I said, kicking off, I've got 6 total stories, things that have happened, things that are worth noting, and just understanding what's going on. A lot of these are going to be a little early. Some of them are pertinent to the season, some of them are not, but let me know your thoughts below whether a lot of these things are news or snooze. I'll start with some of the more recent stuff. The first news or snooze, and I'll give my opinion on it, and I'll go from why and talk about a little bit what's happened around it. But the first one's going to be the 76ers, as of today, get punished. The NBA announced today that the Sixers violated league rules governing the timing of the season's free agency discussions, and the league has rescinded Philadelphia's second-round pick in each of the 23 and 24 drafts. The rescindment of the two draft picks reflected findings following an investigation that the 76ers engaged in free agency discussions involving P.J. Tucker and Danwell House Jr. Prior to the date when such discussions were permitted. The team fully cooperated with the investigation. So I'm going to initially up front tell you that it's snooze for a couple of reasons. It's snooze because it's the same slap on the wrist punishment that teams, quite frankly, just don't give a crap about. I'm sure, yes, people are going to say there are some teams, some GMs, some people, some executives, some owners, whatever the case may be. Some of them are going to care about picks and second rounders, whatever, et cetera. What I'm referring to is especially a guy like Daryl Morey, who's going to do whatever he can to win and get whoever he wants, however he wants. He's just not going to care. It is what it is. It's one of those things. I more so am referring to the fact that if the price of getting PJ Tucker, which they were probably going to get PJ and House Jr. anyway, but if the price of getting those two guys is 2 second-round picks, that's basically a pick each. It's snooze. I mean, until the NBA figures out a way to actually prevent this from being a problem, I don't see this continuing to go on or not stopping. So really what I'm worried about, or more so, I want to say, it's snooze for the fact that it's just the same punishment over and over again. I do like that they did go for a second round pick on each, so I guess that's adding up to something. But essentially what I'm referring to that I think is newsworthy, even though the 76ers getting punished is very snoozeworthy, is that the news around the fact that these are, you know, you're basically taking away 2 second-round picks, so you're taking away 2 potential spots that people who are deserving of the draft can get drafted. Shout out to my boy Stephen Gillespie. I agree wholeheartedly with his tweets today about that. It's one of those things, like, I'm glad he made that statement aware, and that tweet should have done a lot better than it did. If you haven't checked that out, No Ceilings guys, Stephen Gillespie, they're doing a lot of great work right now. Please check them out. Shout out to the No Ceilings guys, for real. They're doing some awesome stuff. But Stephen made a great point. It's like you're taking away 2, especially in this past year's draft, you sell 58 picks instead of 60. That's 2 picks that guys could have got a different type of contract or could have been in a better situation if a team had drafted them. Obviously, at that point, I know how the agency stuff works towards the end of the draft. You know, your agents are going to potentially, you know, give you the choice and like have you be like, well, let's push teams away so we can, you know, have our choice in free agency and yada, yada, yada. Like, it's stupid sometimes, but it is what it is. It's 2 less people that can be drafted into a situation where that might have been, you know, something that they wanted to strive for, obviously. So you're taking away 2 opportunities there. It's completely warranted to be frustrated with that. I mean, the draft community hopefully agrees with me on that, and Steven especially, but it's just, it sucks. Like, it's the same stupid punishment over and over again, and until the NBA figures it out, I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, we're taking away second-round picks. We're finding teams money that don't care. Like, there's really no, I mean, I don't have the perfect answer. I don't have any answer, quite frankly, on what the better punishment would be, but just addressing the fact that it is, it sucks. It's honestly stupid as a whole that it's even happening. Teams are going to do it regardless. They're going to keep slapping them on the wrist, making somebody an example. If it gets bad enough and somebody does a bad enough tampering, in this case, they never actually called it that, but, you know, pre-free agency discussions, whatever, right? Call a spade a spade. But until someone officially does something like bad, or like they really want to chastise somebody and make them the example, like taking a first, or I don't know, like if you're a 7 seed, you're now an 8 seed. I mean, I'm just throwing out this, none of these are going to happen. I'm just saying, until they make that example of somebody, it is what it is. It's not going to be something people care about. So I'm going to go with the 76ers getting punished as a snoozable event in the NBA today. Number 2. I'm going to lump this one together a little bit later with something else as well, but I'm just going to go with just the news and the stuff happening around the Nets as a whole. I'm going to go with it being news, obviously, right, with the Kyrie Irving situation, which I went back and forth. I started this an hour and a half or two later than I wanted to because I went back and forth about, do I address it? Do I even talk about it? Do I care enough to even make it a point that obviously he reposts something, whatever, right? Like, it's not good, and I don't support what he reposts. But at the end of the day, this is just, if I'm sticking to NBA storylines and how it affects NBA teams and players on the court, which is ultimately the production that matters that I'm here to talk about, then it is news. Kyrie doing all of that stuff, and hopefully, as of, like, I'm glad I waited, as of 7 o'clock right before I started recording this, you know, he took everything down, and Steve Nash pregame interviews or whatever, talking about how it was really good for the locker room and the team and the camaraderie and yada yada. If you're hearing that stuff in game 6, game 7 of the regular season, it's news. It's glaring that that's even being a problem. Like, Bill Simmons and Rob Mahoney were talking on Thursday and on Bill's pod and said something to the effect of, you know, nothing's happened with Kyrie yet. And literally 18 hours later, verbatim, he says, hold my beer. And, you know, here we are talking about Kyrie Irving, you know, the next Monday after here, you know, I'm talking about him on the show. Kyrie's reposting of stuff, all, you know, Steve Nash making comments, Steve Nash getting, I mean, the fired up thing was hilarious. I have no clue what to think about it. Ben Simmons sitting out for knee soreness. And he's played bad, obviously, up until this point. So it comes to warrant, like, this roster stinks. Ben Simmons' knee soreness, Kyrie Irving's issues. Kevin Durant's kind of been the constant, which we kind of already knew. Constant other than the fact that, you know, he might play 45. He might play 82 games. You never know. As of right now, we're in a predicament where this team is, what, 1-5, 1-6, and, I mean, I don't want to panic, it's not panic button. That's not the segment we're doing, right? But they're very well might be the, you know, a top three candidate for panic button in a couple of weeks when we do that, you know, for the first month. I just, all of the stuff around it, I have to say it's news. I don't think it's over yet. The chapter is absolutely not written yet. I think this is just continue to unfold and unfoil. And when you're getting into Twitter arguments with your the owner of your franchise and Kyrie Irving, obviously, and Joe Tsai, just this has just been, you know, just a cloud. Talk about the cloud with the Suns this offseason. This has just been a cloud for the Nets. And it's been going on for months since KD requested a trade. So I don't think the situation, I think it gets worse before it gets better. Obviously, basketball-wise, if we're going back to that, Ben Simmons has struggled. Like I said, the bench has just been horrible. They don't have Patty Mills. They obviously, if we're sitting here talking about the fate of the Nets for the next couple of weeks, months, whatever, and we're talking about Patty Mills being the savior, this is probably a bad team. So I just don't like what I'm getting production-wise from anybody other than Kyrie and Kevin Durant, who are both averaging more than 30 points right now. So let the chips fall where they may, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to spend too much on the Nets. Next story we're going to talk about really quick, Josh Primo. This one's tough to talk about because they're, and this one's going to be short and sweet just for transparency for listeners or viewers because, A, we don't know enough yet. We just got a report that he was exposing himself to women, and obviously the Spurs are a class act organization as well, partnering with the NBA to make that decision, and they feel like it was time to move on just a matter of weeks after they obviously just picked up his third-year option on a guy that they took, I'm just going to say it until we see it, very highly, way too highly, right? Number 10 overall, way, 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 way higher than most of his projections. I had him in the 20 to 30 range, and some people even had him into the 40, 50 range in that draft, and he went in the top 10. So Josh Primo, obviously, you know, I talk about chapter not being written. We just don't know where this leads right now. He's currently, as of right now, clearing waivers, or just cleared waivers today to test free agency and at least be available. But he did say in a statement to ESPN and in the NBA that he's taking time away from basketball, which he absolutely should. Obviously, there may be some legal ramifications coming. So lingering around his situation, we will see what happens. I 100% we're sitting here talking about it. It's obviously news. The Spurs are, like I said, such a class act organization, even to the fact that they're 5-2 right now. That's besides the point. I mean, they're a class act organization, even when they try to lose for one of the best prospects we've seen in a long time, if not ever. So, you know, shout out to Greg Popovich and Archie Buford and all of the guys in that situation for making the right decision. And just, if that's the resolution, that was the simplest way to, you know, go about it, then so be it. Josh Primo obviously is no longer on the San Antonio Spurs. So monitor his situation, where he goes, et cetera, if he makes an NBA return at all. We hope he does, or I hope he does. It's one of those things, like he's a guy with so much talent, so young, and just, I don't know. We never knew enough about the guy. It's how the Spurs are. You never hear anything about him, yada, yada, yada. It's very quiet. Keep things to the chest. So I'm intrigued to find out what's happening more into this detail, and I'm sure we'll find out very, very shortly. So Josh Primo's story is 100% news. Next one's going to be the teams with high expectations struggling. So we're talking about now just thinking about, well, we're 6 to 7 games in the NBA season, right? So I'm going to go with snooze up front. Like these teams have, other than maybe the Nets. The Nets is the one team, and I'll lump all these together in just a second. But teams that are under 500 as of recording this on Halloween is in the East. You have the Sixers, the Bulls, the Heat, and the Nets that are all concerning teams that are concerning in the regard of their record compared to last year, as well as their expectation coming into this year, I guess is where I landed with it. So the Bulls are kind of lumped into that as well. If you wanted to cut the Bulls out there, whatever, right? It's Sixers, Heat, Nets. In the West, it's Lakers, Clippers, Warriors, right? All of these teams have some things that are just glaring holes. The Sixers, it's the bench. The Bulls, it's no one, anyone and everyone can have their way with Nikola Vucevic and no Lonzo Ball. The Heat, I'll be honest, I'm sitting here going through all the teams, like at least one glaring reason. They're not that big. Bam Adebayo is kind of doing everything for them defensively, and he can't hold up for 82 games like that. Other than that, though, I don't understand what's wrong with the Heat. I'll be fair. They have played a pretty tough schedule so far with a pretty juggernaut West Coast run. But, I mean, if there's any team you thought would have resiliency here, it would be the Heat in that situation. And then the Nets I already talked about, so I lumped them together in there. Out West, obviously, the Lakers just got their first win. If you saw in the Sunday edition or October 30th edition of Yesterday in the NBA, the Lakers got their first win against the Nuggets. So this would have been more of an apocalyptic. They're definitely a contender for panic button still, don't get me wrong, but would have been more of an apocalyptic conversation because, well, you know, they're 0-6, so they're not now. They're 1-5. Very thankful for that. So regardless, they shut down the Nuggets bench. They gave up 22 points to that Nuggets bench. The starters had to do everything that they could to drag that team to keeping it a close game throughout most of the third quarter and then half of the fourth quarter. But the Lakers obviously playing stellar defense, playing top four right now in defensive percentage, defensive rating, all of the stuff that matters for the defensive stats. However, offensively, as we've all seen, the entire media has just dragged the Lakers team through the mud. I'm not going to continue to do that. Obviously, I'm a fan, but I'm also going to be very careful and honest and constructive because this team does suck. I mean, offensively, they can't do anything right now. Last night was the first glimmer of hope. Denver, I don't know their defensive potential really fully yet. We'll see. Michael Porter Jr. gave up a lot of open threes, open shots, open opportunities, back cuts, just things that were, and it's not just his fault, right? But it's, he's a proponent of that, and he's one of the things that they knew they were going to have to improve on defensively if they were going to figure that out. So, Lakers' glaring hole, can't score the ball. The Clippers' glaring hole is the fact that Kawhi Leonard supposedly is still hurt. I'm not sure. They're sitting him out. You can throw at me all the stuff about this and this and that and why or why not, but your guys had, you know, almost 2 years to be off playing basketball, and he's now not back again. And they're having to play even with a deep team. They're not winning games that they should, and they're not winning games that they shouldn't either. So it's just one of those things. Like, they're just kind of in a rut right now, even though first couple of games they looked like they were in a rhythm. John Wall's really figuring himself out. Like Grayson said last week on week one of reactions, he's going to be a huge piece for them. Even though they're deep, you can't still rely on Paul George. Like, he's not the number one option for a team anymore, and that's totally fine. That's not a knock on him, but obviously those two together are better than those guys individually. So Clippers' glaring hole, just continuity and figuring it out. I'm probably the second least worried behind maybe this next team in the Warriors. I'm not worried about the Warriors right now. Obviously, two losses on the road, Eastern Conference to the Hornets. Steph's homecoming, I guess you could say, to Charlotte, as well as their loss to the Detroit Pistons last night. Sure, like, you can overreact to that if you want. Cade had an unbelievable game. Sadiq Bey had an unbelievable game. The Hornets as a whole just beat them up. I don't really know what happened that game, I'll be honest with you. It was the Hornets' first overtime win in two seasons, or last season and this season so far. So good for them beating the Dubs. But like I said, glaring concerns for a lot of these teams, one big, you know, spot for all of them. But at the end of the day, it's game seven, it's game eight, right? It's a snooze for the sole factor of every single one of these teams has time to figure it out. Darvin Ham's a really good coach, at least so far, obviously, we've seen, or we can trust so far from what we know. Ty Lue, I'm not worried he's going to figure, you know, I'm not worried he's not going to figure it out. He's going to be fine. Steve Kerr, Eric Spoelstra, Billy Donovan, obviously I have my doubts. Doc Rivers, I have my doubts. But there's guys set in place to be able to help make these decisions to make these teams better in the future. So totally fine. Not worried whatsoever. All right, number five. Those of you draft, I guess we call them, I don't really know. This term is not my favorite, but draft sickos like myself, at least in the next couple of weeks, months, as we start to get into draft season. College basketball starts in less than a week. You will see some content from that for that from me very soon. If you haven't checked out my appearance on the clock, my guys Julian and Caleb, we talked about UNC. They did a very good job or a series around the top 10 teams, basically top 10, 15 teams that they liked, and just really broke those teams down in detail. 30 minutes or less, just good, solid content around what some of these teams' expectations are, what some of their fallouts might be, some of their, you know, some of their shortcomings, whatever. Really, really, really good job. I really enjoyed talking about the light blue team in North Carolina that I'm not a fan of, but really, really good team in Carolina. So please check that out. I'll link it if I can remember at the top here and little I, or I can, if I can remember, it's going to be in the description as well. So anyway, so side note on that with the draft. The NBA app is going to stream all of Victor Wembanyama's games completely for free on the app. This is 100% news. So obviously I didn't try to have a certain amount of news and a certain amount of snooze. I ended up having three of each. It kind of worked out that way. But the NBA app as a whole, it just completely, the NBA, please, if you want to sponsor me, please let me know. I absolutely would 100% do it. Besides the point. So the NBA app got a really, really awesome facelift last year, or the end of last year, beginning of this year, maintenance to making it a lot more user-friendly, a lot more social media aspects to it with the stories and some really cool angles and perspectives of pregame, during the game, postgame that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise if the app had not made those changes. One of the things they've also done a really good job of is implementing the crunch time every Monday, which I'm currently watching in the background. So crunch time is basically the NBA's version of Red Zone, where they flip around to games every couple of minutes and show you what's happening highlights wise. If you missed a dunk, or, you know, close games in the fourth quarter, or, you know, somebody does some crazy block, right? You're going to see that stuff live as it happens throughout the entire league. Completely free, has to be in the NBA app on your phone or mobile device or tablet. Really, really cool feature there. They do a really, really good job with that broadcast. I really enjoy it. Makes Mondays easier because Mondays have a lot of games. But the NBA app streaming Victor Wembanyama's games is 100% news, like I said, because this is not a guy that's playing in the G League, right? This is not a Scoot Henderson. This is a guy who's playing in a division of basketball in France, like a completely different country that the NBA's leagues are not affiliated with whatsoever. You're getting primetime television of a guy that I haven't shared my thoughts publicly yet, but if any of you are not new here and you have read my content in the past couple of years or know me or whatever, you know how I evaluate drafts. You know how I'm going to feel about Victor Wembanyama. He is as everything he sought out to be, hopefully, at least in my opinion. So, and I haven't even done super deep dives yet. My plan is to start super deep dives in January. So we'll see. This is just what I'm watching from games. Victor Wembanyama's game is completely free. Like I said, the free aspect is definitely newsworthy as well. It's completely implemented in the app. You can watch it right side by side with any other game that's on there. So just the NBA is doing a very good job of marketing this kid, and deservingly so. It's shocking because it's, like I said, not an NBA affiliated league, at least that I'm aware of. Obviously playing in the French basketball league, but you're getting a guy who's already being marketed well anyway, and you're basically putting it onto an app that hundreds of millions of people use. So this has to be news. I mean, obviously for us draft sickos, like I said, it's going to be awesome because it's just, you don't have to pay, you don't have to legally stream, you don't have to find this, you don't have to find that. You know exactly, you know, for the next 22 games, you know exactly where he's going to be on the app every single time. So looking forward to spending more time watching his game, developing that film, but just you know what you're getting with this kid. Unbelievable talent. This isn't a draft rant whatsoever, but just understanding that this is a really, really big deal and fans should definitely take advantage of it. If not, then, you know, more fun for us draft guys. So I know Caleb and Julian will appreciate that as well. Lastly, want to talk about the only real major injury that has affected or has not affected a team. Leave that up to the next couple of weeks, but obviously the Pelicans lost Zion. They are out without Ingram right now, and they're continuing to win and look good. But a team that lost their best player, who looks better than the Pelicans, they're 5-1, is the Portland Trailblazers. Damian Lillard's going to be out with a calf strain for 1 to 2 weeks. Like I said, you know, prayers to Damian Lillard. No major injuries for anybody else, hopefully, but just more of a knock on wood moment there. But just knowing that Damian Lillard's hurt and they won their first game without him pretty convincingly. I said it every single time. People can laugh at it in the series on TikTok and other platforms, but Blazers being 4-1 in the first place in the West was not on my bingo card. I was not high on this Blazers team. I'm wholeheartedly, at least for the first 8 games, am, you know, eating my own medicine or whatever the expression is, right? Like, I'm taking my own medicine there. The schedule does get harder, though, very, very soon. This is just a handful of tough games here. They have a couple of teams in there. I'm sure they might beat whatever. But these are their tough games, quote-unquote, over the next couple of weeks leading up till the day before Christmas. They play home Grizzlies, at Suns, at Heat, at Mavs, home Spurs, home Nets, home Jazz, at Bucks, at Cavs, and then they have another couple of Nets games just after Thanksgiving in Brooklyn. So tough stretch of games here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games out of their next 12 are going to be very, very difficult. We are going to see what this Portland Trailblazers team is made of. Obviously, we'd like to see it with Dame back in a week or so. He's been very, very clear in all of his media availability that he is not going to let this sideline him for very, very long. So we will see Damian Lillard back very, very soon. That 1 to 2 week number, I would not be shocked if it was 1 and not 2. He's looked really, really good in prior to the absence, obviously averaging, you know, almost 30 points a game, looking like his normal Damian Lillard self again. Chauncey Billups is figuring it out, and I'm just really, really, I'm kind of glad. This is one of those moments where I'm like, well, I'm kind of glad I was wrong, because they're really, really fun. They look really good, and it's just more fun when teams like that are winning. Like, you look at the West, and you're like, you know, the Thunder are right now the 8th seed and whatever, and there's teams like that where you're like, okay, eventually that'll probably level out, but this Blazers team I hated coming into the season. I didn't have them in the playoffs or the play-in, quite frankly, and they're just awesome. They're outperforming expectations. You know, Anthony Simons, Josh Hart, Damian Lillard, Jeremy Grant, the guy who I was completely wrong on. Nurkic is back healthy. They're looking really good. I mean, even the Shaedon Sharpe, the young guy. So just this team is running up and down the floor, and it's really, really fun to see. So again, totally fine with eating my own medicine here. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below about Sixers getting punished. The Nets storyline centered around them. Josh Primo, teams with high expectations that are struggling, NBA app streaming Victor Wembanyama, and Lillard's calf injury. Just let me know your thoughts below, whether you think any of those are news or snooze, as well as any news pieces or snooze pieces, whatever you want to call them, that I might have missed. Just let me know what you think below, or on Twitter, or on Instagram, or on Facebook. I want to hit one more thing that I think is just, I have been very careful and quiet and just publicly supporting it, at least on social media, but have not addressed it on the podcast, and I want to be very, very clear about this. As of the other day, Brittany Griner, of course, being held in Russia for over 200 days now, Moscow court rejects the appeal for Griner, so she is set to begin her 9-year sentence, which, according to the article through on NBA.com, this is actually a good thing because it opens up more flexibility for the U.S. government if there's potentially a swap or a deal or something like that. It gives them an opportunity to basically have the bargaining chip that they needed, probably. All in all, it's tough. This is a tough situation to talk about. I appreciate Steph Curry talking about it on a public platform on ring night for millions of people to see, talking about it on her birthday. But regardless of what you think about it, capturing somebody and keeping them in another country, regardless of the ramifications around what it was or what it, you know, what the intention was with it. If you don't know, you can go read the story. But free Brittany Griner. That's really what I wanted to address. It just sucks. The WNBA is better without her. Obviously, she's, if you're just talking basketball, right? If you're just thinking like, okay, well, we want the WNBA to be better, right? I'm an avid supporter of the WNBA, and this is one of those moments where it's like, this is going to hurt the league. Like, this is going to be a thing where you have a player, you know, a very good player now in her 30s, right? Where the prime, you know, her prime may be tailing off, and she may be missing the end of her prime where she can go out and compete for a championship and compete for building the WNBA to a level that it needs to be on, right? To take it to the next step. And she's a very marketable person and a very marketable opportunity. And she's just, regardless of all the basketball stuff and all the marketing stuff, right? This is a person's life at stake there, right? This is a livelihood of a person. So, obviously, we want to free Brittany Griner, the WNBA and NBA, and myself and everyone else involved is praying for the situation. And at the end of the day, we just want to see justice brought to light. Bring Brittany Griner home. That is all I had for today with the storylines. Again, I just want to say thank you for all the support over the last couple of weeks on YouTube. And I'm at a loss for words because this has been a really, really fun and just honestly, just if I'm being transparent with you guys, it's been a difficult transition going from talking with your best friend, you know, about basketball every week to talking to yourself, that's talking to you guys, right? Like I'm talking straight into the camera, right? Implementing more guests and things like that, obviously, in the future, but got a lot of really cool stuff I'm excited about coming up. So just thank you, thank you, thank you for all the support. YouTube, all the podcast downloads, the website, a huge spike in the website the last couple of weeks. Super, super appreciate that. Just anything I might be missing, the people involved behind the scenes, et cetera. I'm super excited for what's coming. College basketball is coming. I got a lot of in-person events with basketball coming up. And I'm really, really excited to unveil to you guys some games and some different experiences. So writing, like I said, I've got the writing fuel back again. So just being able to just, you know, it'll help me transition through this period where I'm talking, you know, solo on these a lot. So I'll be able to relay, you know, some thoughts into words. I've got a really, really awesome article coming out. It will be out officially. Today's the 31st. It'll officially be out beginning of next week when college basketball kicks off with that first primetime night. I'll give you a hint. It's centered around the state of North Carolina. If you're not new here, you're not shocked by that. Obviously, me being from the state of North Carolina, born and raised, as well as a big fan of college basketball. It is a college basketball kickoff piece. Very, very detailed. Took a lot of time. Actually, I started it in September, if that gives you any consolation. So please check that out. Please support it when you see it. I won't spoil it, but just know it's coming. I'm super, super excited to share it. Don't forget to check out all of the things that we've got coming on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all the daily content series. Thank you for all the support on the NBA in 60 Seconds or Yesterday in the NBA, whichever title you like or prefer. Shout out to On the Clock for all the support and having me on their channels the last couple of weeks. All their links and everything will be below. Check them out. Support their content as well. We're in this together, so... that'll do it. So thanks for all the ranting or listening to my ranting at the end. 30 minutes on the dot. That's what I was aiming for. It's been definitely a very interesting couple of days in the NBA, and I look forward to seeing how it continues to unravel here into November. So again, to like, subscribe, comment, do all the things you have been doing already and continue to do. I appreciate you. Don't forget to let me know what your favorite candy is. This has been the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Trevor Everett. We will see you later.